Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A 46-year-old man faces murder charges in connection with a Monday morning stabbing death of a woman on Buffalo's West Side. Officers reported to a call of a domestic violence incident at a Rhode Island Street residence just before 4 in the morning. A 29-year-old Buffalo woman was found with severe lacerations and stab wounds and was later pronounced dead at the scene. Charged with murder in the second degree is Antonio Prieto of Buffalo, who police found at the scene with, quote-unquote, apparent self-inflicted wounds. Workers at two nursing homes will not be striking tomorrow after the facility's owner signed a tentative one-year labor agreement. According to the 1199 SEIU, owner Solomon Abramchik signed the contract after a brief conversation with union negotiators. Prior to the agreement, 170 workers were prepared to walk off the job tomorrow at the Sapphire of North Townsend Williamsville Suburban Nursing Facilities. On July 8th, 1199 SEIU had filed an unfair labor practice charge against Abramchik for bargaining in bad faith. And the ascendance of Kamala Harris as a major party candidate for president is generating increased interest among local voters. That's according to Erie County Democratic Party Chairman Jeremy Zellner, who said in a release that he's been, quote unquote, inundated with requests for lawn signs and offers to volunteer. They'll be holding a rally tomorrow for Harris Waltz at 701 Seneca Street, their new headquarters in downtown Buffalo. A 36-year-old man from West Virginia will face charges after he was found at the Peace Bridge with multiple firearms. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers say they detained a vehicle Saturday when one of the passengers did not possess the required identification. An ensuing search of the vehicle revealed an AR-15 rifle, 143 rounds of ammunition, six 30-round ammunition magazines, and a 9mm handgun. The driver had prior arrest convictions and therefore was in illegal possession of the firearms. He was turned over to Buffalo police and will face felony charges. Two men are accused of taking part in a narcotics ring after police executed a search warrant at a residence in the Cattaraugus County village of South Dayton. The search of the residence by the Southern Tier Regional Task Force led to the arrests of 40-year-old Jeffrey Nesbitt of Buffalo and 48-year-old Philip Duvall of Collins. Authorities say the search of the residence found quantities of crack cocaine, fentanyl, and U.S. currency. And federal funding will assist the local efforts in combating substance abuse among teens. The funding will be directed to Horizon Health Services, the agency that provides outpatient and inpatient programs for individuals and families dealing with substance use. Congressman Tim Kennedy is expected to outline the federal allocation at a press conference later this morning.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Governor Kathy Hochul's signature is still needed on a bill that could achieve an array of environmental goals. From reducing the 65,000 car-deer collisions in New York State each year to restoring natural habitat that has been diminished or destroyed by climate change and land development. Passed in the state Senate and Assembly with bipartisan support, the New York Wildlife Crossings Act would direct the State Department of Transportation to, quote, identify sites along highways, throughways, and parkways in the state where wildlife crossings are most needed. Marisa Rigi, executive director of the Western New York Land Conservancy, believes the bill possesses powerful implications.
Wildlife is using these culverts and these bridges. Wildlife is traversing them. But in some cases, a tiny tweak or a small change when you're upgrading or replacing infrastructure can make all the difference to a wildlife species.
That feeling is shared by environmental journalist Ben Goldfarb. He says most Americans have developed roadkill blindness, as if the lumps of dead flesh and fur scattered on roadsides are a natural phenomenon. But he says some regions take a different approach.
I was in Montana writing about wildlife conservation, and I had a chance to take a tour of these wildlife crossings, overpasses and underpasses and tunnels, all of these different structures that the state of Montana and native tribes had built to allow animals to safely move back and forth across the highway. And you know, to me, the opportunity to stand up on top of one of these wildlife bridges was just incredibly inspiring. You know, I realized that I'd never really thought much about the ecological cost of roads. And yet here was this multi-million dollar structure that humans had built to kind of heal some of those wounds that that highways inflict on nature. So that experience back in 2013 really got me excited about this this topic.
Ben Goldfarb will bring that energy to Buffalo Wednesday night at 7 at Trinity Episcopal Church, where he'll have a conversation about his most recent book, Crossings, How Road Ecology is Shaping the Future of Our Planet. A collection of observations from travels to California, Tasmania, Brazil, and beyond, Goldfarb uses exceptional storytelling as he draws the reader into a greater case of how, in many ways, humans have become prisoners to their roads.
It's almost impossible to say, you know, where the influence of roads ends, right? If you're going to, you know, log the rainforest, you know, you need roads to get the machinery in and the product out. If you're going to poach an elephant, you know, you have to access the elephant somehow. And, you know, roads are typically how you do that, right? In some sense, roads are at the root of every single ecological problem you can think of. And yet, because they're so abundant and ubiquitous, you know, there are 4 million miles of road in the U.S. alone. We use them every single day. You know, we tend to ignore them. And I think that's what I'm trying to do in this book, I hope, is just make us look a little differently at these ubiquitous structures that, you know, are secretly shaping our lives.
The Western New York Land Conservancy is definitely looking at roads differently as they work to create the Western New York Wildway, an effort to connect and protect the region's remaining large forests. It would be part of the Eastern Wildway that would allow animals to again roam across the land and ensure survival as climate changes. Roads, of course, would not disappear, but culverts and bridges designed to encourage wildlife movement could be a part of the solution.
Because the research has, you know, shown that when wildlife crossings are implemented right, they can decrease collisions by up to 92% when they're properly sited and they have the fencing that they need.
Marcus Rawson is the Conservancy's Wildway Director. We spoke with him recently, the day after he was out in Allegheny and Cattaraugus counties, gathering data and images from dozens of cameras positioned throughout the wild.
And yesterday was a really exciting day. I got a great image of a bobcat using a culvert that goes under a road right in one of our core areas. So we have three target species that we're really trying to detect through this study. It's black bear, fisher, and bobcat. And I've gotten a bunch of black bear and fisher. And yesterday was the first day that we got were able to document bobcats using culverts in the wildway.
Modifying existing culverts or building new ones would come with a cost, but supporters say passing the New York Wildlife Crossings Act would be a first step at accessing available federal funding. And as many drivers and their insurance companies know, car deer collisions come with a real cost, on average nearly $9,000 per crash. Some drivers die in those collisions. So while the governor considers signing the New York Wildlife Crossings Act and others weigh the cost benefits, people at the Western New York Land Conservancy, like Marcus Rawson, are working to make habitat connectivity a reality.
So we are building upon the Eastern Wildway, which goes throughout the entire East Coast. We took our section here in Western New York, and we are making it a reality by mapping out where we have our important core habitats to build, and then how can we connect those core habitats to each other with habitat corridors, and then where those corridors interact with roads, how can we build more road crossings in Western New York that will allow those wildlife to, as we documented with the bobcat, move through these culverts to be able to travel throughout the region.
Hear more about the subject on Wednesday night at 7 when the Western New York Land Conservancy hosts a conversation with author Ben Goldfarb at the Trinity Episcopal Church in Buffalo. For WBFO, I'm Jay Moran.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.